What I do want to talk about this morning is timely for a couple of reasons. I'd like to talk this morning about a father in the Bible. Today is Father's Day, and it's a day that we've set aside in our country to think about fathers and to honor them for what they do. And it's a day that's pertinent not just for those of us who are fathers, but for all of us, because all of us have had fathers or father-like figures in our lives that have been beneficial to us. And if you're not a father, you may be a wife of someone who you're trying to help be a better father. And so there's lots of different lessons we can learn from looking at fathers. And it's something that the Bible places a lot of emphasis on. Our Bible readings over the past several weeks have been focused, and as we talked about this morning, throughout the book of Proverbs. And as we read through Proverbs, we realize that a lot of that is instruction that's given from a father to a son. And so there's an importance on that. As we look through the Bible, and the Bible has a lot to say to fathers. There's a lot of responsibility, and there's also a lot of blessing associated with the work that's done of a godly father. And so as I've read through those Proverbs this week, those are helpful for me as a father, and they're helpful for us just in our Christian lives in general. But for me, it's always helpful to look at not just a proverb of something, but to look at how that's played out in someone's life. It's always great for me to be able to look at a lesson of someone who is in the Bible, who's done a good job with those things that we can look at as an example. And so this morning, I'd like to look at a lesser known father in the Bible, one that we don't read a lot about, but I think that we can draw some lessons from as we talk for a few minutes this morning. Before we do that and we look at this one individual in the Bible, I think it's an interesting point to note that there are a lot of admirable men in the Bible that we can learn a lot of lessons from, but that we may not be able to draw a lot of lessons from as fathers. You think about some of the men of the Old Testament that we tend to study and look at the character traits of. Think of David, for example, that we spent a long time, a whole week in our VBS last week talking about David and the different roles in his life as a soldier and as a friend and as a king. We only had 4 days, but if we had a fifth day, I don't know that we would have chosen David the father to talk about. David's lack of discipline related to his children led to some horrible things late in his life, to the point of murder and even one of his sons attempting to take out David. So we don't look at him in that way. We can think of Jacob. You want to be a father like Jacob? Practice blatant favoritism to the point that it rips your family to pieces, and that one of your child tries to sell another one into slavery. Those of you with young kids may think that there are some days your kids may take you up on that. I know in my house there are days I wonder if mine would stop short of selling one into slavery, but I think they would. So the point there is that we can look at some great men, but we always don't see great father-like attributes. And I think the point of that is that being a father involves more than just looking at ourselves, but it also involves how we see our family and the importance of that and what we want to accomplish with our family. And so this morning, I'd like to talk to you about, again, a lesser-known character in the Bible. He's found in 2 Kings the first time, and over in Jeremiah, we're going to read about his family a little bit later. But it's a man named Jonadab, or Jehonadab. He's mentioned 2 different times in Scripture. His name's slightly different, but it's the same person. And we're introduced to him in 2 Kings chapter 10. Just to kind of introduce the background of what's going on in 2 Kings before we make some applications about Jonadab. We're about 840 B.C., and as we know, Ahab has been ruling for some time, and Ahab's sons have been ruling after him for some time, and all we have to do is mention that name, and it kind of resonates to us what the kingdom would have looked like under Ahab's rule and under the rule of his family. Ahab and Jezebel, two of the most wicked people that we see in the nation of Israel, and Israel has suffered and gone into a spiritual decline because of the leadership of Ahab. And his family, Ahab's gone at this point in 2 Kings chapter 10, but his family has continued to rule. And it's at this point that we're introduced to a king named Jehu, who's going to come in and try to take care of some of the mess that Ahab's made in the nation of Israel. And so Jehu arrives on the scene, and he's going to try to rid Israel of the worship of Baal. And he's going to need some help in doing that. And so he calls on someone to help him in ridding the nation of idolatry. And so we can see in verse 11 of chapter 10 that Jehu, this is going to be a violent kind of violent departure of Ahab's household, that Jehu kills all that remained in Ahab's house. And then down in 15, we're introduced to this character. Again, he's referred to here as Jehonadab. It says, now when he had departed from there, this is Jehu, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he greeted him and said to him, is your heart right, as my heart is with your heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is. Jehu said, if it is, give me your hand. And he gave him his hand, and he took him up into the chariot. And he said, come see with me my zeal for the Lord. So he made him ride in his chariot. When he came to Samaria, he killed all who remained to Ahab in Samaria until he destroyed him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. And so Jehu asked for some help in this, trying to bring up the spiritual nature and institute some religious reform in Israel. And he asked for this man, Jehonadab, to help him. We'll read later in this chapter that Jehonadab also goes in with him to the temple of Baal. They call all the Baal worshippers together and try to eradicate the nation of Baal. Great endeavor that they attempt here. But that's the last that we really see of Jonadab or Jehonadab in 2 Kings. We don't really know anything else about him if we read through the rest of 2 Kings. What we do know is what happened to the nation of Israel. Jehu is ultimately not going to be successful in ridding out the nation of its spiritual decline and the immorality and the idolatry that goes on there. And just later in 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 28, we can read that Jehu eradicated Baal out of Israel. However, as for the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin, from these Jehu did not depart. Even the golden calves that were at Bethel and were at Dan. But, and verse 31 says, Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all his heart. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel sin. And so there's an attempt here to create some religious reform, but it's not going to last. And as we continue to read through 2 Kings, the nation continues to kind of spiral because of the idolatry that's left there. And so that's kind of a depressing end to that story. So you say, well, what's the lesson we learn from Jonadab? Well, to find out, let's turn over now to Jeremiah. This will be the last kind of passage that we explore this morning, and we'll make some application from this passage. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 35. We're introduced to, not to Jonadab in this passage, but we're introduced to his family. And as you look at 2 Kings and Jeremiah, you may say, well, that's going to be a long departure from the events that took place. And you're right. It's about 240 years later that this passage is written, or that this events take place in the nation now of Judah. And Jeremiah is prophesying. Let's read some in Jeremiah chapter 35. Says the in verse 1, says the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. And then in verse 2, let's look at what he says. It says, go to the house of the Rechabites. You remember that name? Rechab was the father of Jonadab. Go to the house of the Rechabites and speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. And then down in verse 5, skip down a few verses, Jeremiah does this. Jeremiah says, then I set before the men of the house of the Rechabites pitchers full of wine and cups. And I said to them, drink wine. But they said, we will not drink wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall not drink wine, you or your sons, forever. You shall not build a house, and you shall not sow seed. You shall not plant a vineyard on your own one. But in tents you shall dwell all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. We've obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he commanded us, not to drink wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, not to build ourselves houses to dwell in, and we do not have a vineyard or field or seed. We've only dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and have done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. So Jonadab shows up again here. We'll look a little bit more at this passage in a few minutes. 240 years later, we see his family abiding by some principles that Jonadab had put into place for them. And I think that as we look at this, we look at the life and the backstory of Jonadab and who he was, and look at these principles and his family 240 years later, that for us as fathers, and not just for us as fathers, but for us as parents and as Christians, there are some lessons I think that we can learn, or some good reminders for us as we strive to be good servants of the Lord. The first thing, so what can we learn from Jonadab? The first thing that I gained from this story and that I think is beneficial for us is that Jonadab is someone that set standards to preserve his family. He set standards to preserve his family. We talked about the time that Jonadab lived in and the moral depravity that existed in the nation of Israel. And we see that Jonadab tried to help in eradicating some of that. But when that didn't work, he didn't just give up on his family. He didn't look at the world around him and say, this place is a disaster, and I'm worried about the state of my family, but I don't know what I can do about it. But Jonadab looked at the wickedness around him, and he drew a line for his family. And he said, we're not going to partake in the things that are going on at this time. And what I really like about Jonadab is he didn't let the condition of the world impact his family's spiritual condition. He controlled what he could, and he controlled his family, and he set some standards for them to be apart from the evilness and the wickedness that was going on in the nation of Israel at that time. I don't know when Jonadab set these standards for his family. I don't know if it was during the time that Ahab was king. I don't know if it was after everything fell apart during Jehu. But the point is that he looked at the world around him and decided that they needed to live differently than the wicked nature of the world that was around them. And, you know, for us, I think that's a good example in the times that we live in. We talk a lot about the moral fabric of our society and of our country, and we kind of see examples from day to day about the decline in the standards that our country has versus what we have as Christians. And we can do a lot of things with that. We can worry about it. We can get angry about those things. And we can certainly try to help, like Jonadab did, to make this a better place to live. But at the end of the day, we can set standards for our families, as fathers particularly and leaders of our families, to not take part in the wickedness that goes on in the world around us. I see this kind of more and more. I have my children are still fairly young, and many of you have kids that are older and that have raised children and now help in raising your grandchildren as well. But as my kids get older, I see more and more the pull of society on them as they age. And as they get older and they have friends who go places that they aren't allowed to go and do things that they're not allowed to do and say things that they shouldn't say and wear things that they shouldn't wear, and the list goes on and on and on, you can see society pulling at our families on a day-to-day basis. And looking at the example of Jonadab, I think we can see that if we don't have standards set for our family, then our kids are going to be left out there in the balance and not knowing what to do. But as good parents and as good fathers, we can set standards for our kids to allow them to stand up against the nature of the decline that goes on in the world around them. And I think that's a great example for us that Jonadab provides us with. I'm not saying by this, and you look at some of these things, that we need to do exactly what Jonadab did and pitch tents and move outside the city, although sometimes that would be attractive to be able to do when you look at the state of society. But I do think that we can set ourselves apart, and that's one thing that Jonadab does that I think is beneficial for us to look at. The second thing that I think is really interesting about Jonadab, and it doesn't explicitly say this, but I can't imagine that this wasn't true, is that Jonadab must have abided by what he expected for his family. I can't imagine that we read about this family 240 years later that still abides by the commands of this forefather so long ago if he himself didn't abide by what he expected of his family. And that's a sobering thought, I think, for us as parents and as Christians, even to the world around us that look at us, is that we can set lots of standards, and we need to, for our family and for their spiritual condition. But we've got to live by those things. And we know, and any of us that know that have kids, that our actions speak much louder than our words do. And if we set standards for our children and we set standards for that society sees us talk about these standards that we have for ourselves, we don't live and adhere to those things, they're going to see through those things extremely quickly. And if any of you have kids, know that kids can spot our hypocrisy quicker than anyone. They know us better than anyone does. And so we've got to abide by those things. I think Jonadab did that. Can you imagine that his children would have continued to abide by these standards if Jonadab would have slipped into the city every once in a while for a weekend getaway where he was going to engage in the drunkenness of the city or the immoral activities that went on there? That would have been found out, and his kids would have known that. And eventually, as they got older and started to make the decisions that they made, I don't know if those commands or those standards really would have stuck with them. But they continue to abide in these things that their father and their grandfather and their great-grandfather and down the line set for them because of the example, I would think, that he set for them. And, you know, when I think about that in terms of application for us today, I mean, obviously the things that we mentioned, us not engaging in the wickedness of this world, is going to set a great example for our kids. But what more can we do to help our kids in understanding the kind of life that we want them to lead as servants of God? What are the things that we expect from our kids? What do we ask them to do? We ask them to be engaged in Bible study. We've got Bible programs for our kids where they have lessons each week and they have readings, and we encourage them to do those things. Well, what do they see when they look at us? And I'm preaching all this much more to myself. If you don't think so, you can ask my wife, than I am to anyone else. But what do they see in us? They see us studying our Bibles. They see us with a love for God's Word. They see us searching the Scriptures as we ask them to do that. We talk to our kids about honesty, and we teach them that principle early in their lives. But when they look at us, they see that we will slightly bend the truth to get something to go our way. Talk to them about kind words. What do they hear us talk about when we get back in the car after we've left somewhere? Do they hear us talking negatively about others? And so the list can go on and on. But I think that in order for us to be the kind of parents, and particularly to follow the example like Jonadab did, of being a father that's going to set some standards that are going to last, we've got to live those things ourselves. In Proverbs 27:19, you don't have to turn there, but one of the Proverbs we read this week said, "As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man." Our hearts are eventually going to show us out, and they're going to show us out quicker to our children and to those that are close to us. And if you take this principle even broader, just in our Christian lives, to those that we're around and trying to influence on a day-to-day basis, our hearts are eventually going to lead to action and show out who we are. And I think that Jonadab is a great example of someone who set those standards and who lived by those standards himself as well. The last thing that I'd like to talk about for just a few minutes this morning, about that I think we can learn from as we look at the example of Jonadab, is that it shows the lasting effect that we can have as fathers and as parents. And we talked about the fact that this passage in Jeremiah is written 240 years after the life of this man. And his family is still benefiting from the commandments and the influence that he had. And I think it's a sobering responsibility when we think about it. It's a responsibility that has a lot of blessing attached to it. But it's a sobering thing to think that the influence that we have on others, particularly those within our family and on our children, and for grandparents on your grandchildren, is something that can make a difference for generations, for good or for bad. And it's not only the things I don't think that Jonadab taught, but I think that he obviously didn't, I don't think he came to his family and said, "All right, three rules for this family. We're not going to partake in the drunkenness, we're going to live in tents, and we're not going to be in the city." If he would have done that, I don't think they would have been praised like they were in Jeremiah 35. But I think that we can draw from this that he had taught them more than just that. Because we didn't look at the rest of Jeremiah 35. But if you look down a little bit about the reason that Jeremiah calls these people into the temple and offers them this wine, is he's going to make a point to the nation of Judah at this point, because they're living in a different place now, make a point to the lesson of to the nation of Judah about their lack of obedience. Look down in Jeremiah 35, verse 14. It says, "The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which had commanded his sons not to drink wine, are observed. So they do not drink wine to this day, for they have obeyed their father's command. But I have spoken to you again and again, yet you have not listened to me. Also, I've sent you all my servants, the prophets, sending them again and again, saying, 'Turn now, every man, from his evil way, and amend your deeds, and do not go after other gods to worship them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given to you and your forefathers, but you have not inclined your ear or listened to me. Indeed, the sons of Jonadab, the sons of Rechab, have observed the command of their father, which he commanded them, but this people has not listened to me.'" Verse 17, he's going to condemn or cast judgment on Judah for not doing this, for not obeying the word of the Lord. And then in verse 18, look at the great blessing that is offered now to these Rechabites, these sons of Jonadab. "Then Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the command of Jonadab your father, kept all his commands, and done according to all that he commanded you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me always." What a great end to this story for this man who lived in an extremely wicked time and set some standards for his family to not engage and participate in the downfall of a culture that constantly was pulling at them to do that. And that, I think, lived a life similar to that, so they could see that by his example. Again, I think it just shows the lasting effect, and it shows the importance of what we do as parents, and again, expand that list out to grandparents and aunts and uncles and all those who have great responsibility in helping our young people learn more and serve God. I know we all have stories, a lot of us probably have stories like this of thinking about people in our family from generations ago that set good standards of faithful lives that allow us to live it. Maybe you're the first person in that line, you know, wherever you are. In that line of spiritual heritage that you have, we can make a difference. And that's an encouraging thought, but it's also a huge task for us and a huge weight on our shoulders. I'm thankful for men like Jonadab. We could have picked a lot of different people in the Bible to look at. We could have looked at Noah this morning. We could have looked at Boaz, who we talked about in our Bible class. And I'm thankful that those things are preserved for us in Scripture, that we can look not only at instruction, but we can look at examples of people that have gone on before us that provide us with the kind of encouragement that we need as we fulfill these different roles within our lives. This lesson really hasn't been one that geared toward talking about obeying the gospel, but I don't think it's a far stretch to look at when we talk about fathers to know that Jonadab wasn't perfect. We know that no one was, and we know that he had flaws just like the rest of us do, and we'll make mistakes with our children. But we have a greater blessing, even greater than the blessing of having these examples of faithful men. We've got a father who does this job perfectly. And we serve a God who is our Father, who doesn't make mistakes, and He's always faithful, and He doesn't let us down. And being the first step to having Him as our Father is to becoming a child of His. And so if you're with us this morning and that's something you've been considering, as being a child of God, we'd encourage you to do that. It's the greatest father-child relationship you could ever enter into, much better than any other example we could give. And you've got an opportunity that you could do that this morning. Or if you need prayers or anything from any of the members here, we'd encourage you to ask for those as well. We'll sing a song now, and if there's anything at all that we can do for you in those regards, please feel free to come forward as we stand and sing.